First Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 9 this morning, and I will begin reading at verse 3 and pick up the context. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Let us hear God's holy inspired word beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the preciousness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. O Lord, you've given us this word. You've given it to us. It is your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless it to our hearts, that you will come and preach your word to each one of us. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit in a very powerful way to minister to each one of us. We pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Philippians 1:6 is true. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. What does it look like when the Lord is completing this good work, the work of sanctification in your life? Well, we're going to find out in these passages that there are various trials and difficulties that come to your life. Now, Peter has said that these trials, they don't affect your inheritance. You can see that in verses 4 and 5. Notice he says in verse 4, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, and you are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And of course, that's the ultimate consummation of salvation. So today I think there are three things that these verses teach us about trials and our faith. Trials and our faith. And I would like to look at those three things with you this morning and consider what they teach us. First of all, the first point is that trials develop your character in verse 6. Secondly, trials grow your faith in verse 7. And thirdly, trials maintain your focus in verse 8 and 9. So let's go back to the first point. Trials develop your character in verse 8 or verse 6. You see that, don't you? Now, it's interesting. There's three things about trials I'd like you to see here in this verse 6. First of all, the paradox of trials. The paradox of trials. Notice he says, you greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice. Isn't it interesting that right at the beginning of verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice. Now, Peter is not happy about the sufferings that we face or the trials that the suffering comes with it. But he's very happy because of the results that they bring. It says, we greatly rejoice. And that word, the original language, means to be exuberant, to be incredibly joyful, incredibly joyful. In this you greatly rejoice. Peter is saying that trials are good, yet they're not. The pain is not good, but the result is good. And we're better to go through the pain because of how much benefit we get from the results. Look at the sufferings of Jesus. They were horrible, and yet they were wonderful to the Christian because he paid for the sins of his people. So in one sense, when you think of the crucifixion of Christ, it brings so much sadness and grief to your heart. But then at the same time,
You're joyful. You're thankful because of what he did. Now, some people try to disguise that when they're in trials that everything is wonderful. Well, Peter doesn't say that here. He doesn't say that everything is wonderful. He says they're trials. Now, we don't act like have a stoic outlook, that things don't hurt, or we don't let people have any idea that we're going through trials, or that they don't affect them. Peter is saying they do hurt. Trials do hurt. Some hurt worse than others, but trials have a purpose. And he says, first of all, how they develop your character, this paradox that exists. Secondly, notice the necessity of trials here in verse 6. Notice he says, though for a little while, if need be. If need be. We rejoice because for some reason, God says they are necessary. If you are kept by God, you will find yourself in a trial or trials. It's permitted by God for a reason. It's important for God's people not to be so concerned as to why, but rather, what does God want me to learn? But the first thing we do is always go to this why. Why did this have to happen now? All these terrible things that happened. We need to ask, what are we to learn? Turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for a moment. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A familiar verse, maybe many of you, but let's read it again because this has to do with how we look at our trials that we're in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Notice this, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You see that phrase, lean not on your own understanding? That's there because that's what we do. We do tend to lean on our own understanding. The proverb says, in all your ways acknowledge him, even though you don't understand, and he will direct your path. You see that? Trials are necessary. Notice he says, if need be, for a little while. Now, a little while could be a long time, but in light of eternity, a little while is not long at all. But we have them because they're important, because we need them. Then the third thing I'd like you to see in verse 6 is the diversity of trials. The diversity of trials. Notice he says, various trials. You have been grieved by various trials. So the Lord knows just what trial each one of us needs. And he tailors it just for us. Isn't that nice of him? He actually custom tailors a trial. Now they're different to each one of us. And God never does things for just reasons to do it or have no usefulness to it. He always has a reason. And it's very interesting because the word that it says various trials is a Greek word which means multicolor. Multicolor. Which means all kinds of shapes and different trials and different things that God tailor to us. Notice that's what happened. And the word grieved is a word meaning, now listen to that, distressed, be made sorrowful, have been grieved. It's passive, which means that God is doing this to us. It's coming upon us. We haven't sought it out ourselves. It's coming upon us for a reason. Peter says, they grieve. They hurt. Sorrowful. Grieve. There are many trials you will not understand on this side of eternity, but God will explain them to us when we get there. The diversity of trials. We don't understand them, but we know that trials develop your character. And God is mostly concerned about our holiness. Our happiness is secondary. Our holiness is the most important thing. Develop your character. My father, and probably yours as well, had a way of developing my character, a way of getting me to understand and to change things in my life, to let me understand that there people need to be respected, property needs to be respected, and so on. And he had to use this little device on my backside many times. But eventually, the pain caused me to look at things a little differently after a while. And fathers are supposed to do that properly, but this it happens. See, by trials, God is showing you what is important, and he keeps you from loving this world too much. He is making you more like himself, and he's developing your character. And it's painful at times. Trials develop your character. Secondly, in verse 7, trials grow your faith. Trials grow your faith. Notice what it says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The first thing I'd like you to notice is the focus of trials. Notice the focus here. He starts out here in verse 7, giving it to us. The genuineness of your faith. You see that? The genuineness of your faith. Our faith and its development is the priority in our trials. And if we don't focus on what God wants us to learn, he has to do more, I think, to get us to focus on what he's doing. Our faith grows through trials. The Lord is making us what he wants us to be. Now, but, you know, it's like with an earthly father, we don't like how we have to get there, do we? But we're going to get there. And the Lord our God makes us willing. He changes our character and molds us. Grieved by various trials for purpose of genuineness of your faith. And the word genuineness is the word that means proving of your faith. These trials, the focus of them is to prove your faith. Show. I mean, after all, if you've never had to trust God, then how do you know what it's like to trust God? If you've never had to go through difficulties and find the Lord to be your strength and encouragement, if you never did that, how would you know he is? So he shows us all these things and causes us to seek him. Secondly, as we see the purpose of trials in verse 7. The purpose of trials. Notice it says here, much more precious than gold that is tested by fire. Gold was refined through fire. It purifies gold and it makes it more valuable to get the things, the impurities and so out of it. That's what trials are to you and to me. God is removing the impurities in your life and my life, and he will continue to do so. We are going to have trials. God will send them our way. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 for a moment. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Notice it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. There's that word again, multicolored. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. See that? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When we have to wait on the Lord for things, he teaches us patience. We always want something right away, but the Lord normally lets us wait till the last moment, and then he intervenes. But the idea is that it produces patience, and that's very valuable. Thirdly, in verse 7, the trials, the value of trials. I would like you to see the value of trials. It says, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is talking about the return of the Lord. He's saying it's all going to be worth it. Once you get through the pain, it will be better. You will be so glad that you went through all that you did when you see the Lord face to face. It will be, and we will be glad. I had pain in my left shoulder, and I've tried the different things to help with it. I've gone to the doctors, various doctors, and so on, and but I know there's something wrong, and the pain is telling me that something is wrong. I do some painful exercises, but I know that's the only way to change my problem. Trials are kind of like that. They show you that the Lord is treating something in your life that is not good, that has to change. And He does this to make you better, to make you more holy. They show you that the Lord is treating something when you see a trial. Okay, Lord, what should I learn through this trial? What is it you want to teach me? And that is coming. As Peter says, you will be so glad, so thankful that He did it. You see, we are His, as it says in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created to Christ Jesus. The word workmanship is the word poema, where we get the English word poem from. We are God's poems, and God is refining our poetry. You know, if you read poetry from, you know, some children young at in school, you just look at it and read it and say, okay. But that develops, and as life goes on, you get better at expressing yourself. You find yourself getting better. Well, at His coming, we will be thankful for what He did. Thirdly, in verses 8 through 9, trials maintain your focus. Trials maintain your focus. We have trouble keeping focused on the things of God. We focus so much in the world, so much in things, yet trials cause us to keep our focus on the Lord our God. Notice what it says here. Whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you love. You know, isn't that amazing that He would say that? I mean, that's unusual for the people in the world to see that we as Christians, that we love Him even though we've not seen Him. Remember, Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who have not yet seen yet believe. Peter's saying your love for the Lord will grow as you go through trials. Whom having not seen, even though there is pain, you know He loves you. We know that, don't we? That seems very strange, as I said, to the world. A world that is only concerned about feeling good and having things and focus on the world. You've never seen Him with your eyes, but you love Him, don't you? That's what He's saying here. You haven't seen Him yet. You love it. And these trials, they don't drive you away. They draw you closer to Him. They endure. Turn to James 1:12 for a moment. James chapter 1, verse 12. Now, James is talking about temptation here, but the concept is the same. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Do you see that? There's a crown. A glorious crown awaiting us. We need to endure. Endure, learn, grow. And the Lord has a crown for His people. The second thing I'd like you to notice about trials maintaining your focus, notice the effect of trials. The effect of trials. Notice it says here, with joy, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Even in painful trials, you cannot see him with your eyes. You might say, well, if I got to go through a trial, maybe he'll let me see him. No, he doesn't let us see him. We're going to live by faith and trust him. But even though we can't see him, yet you have a joy which no one can understand. Trials grow our faith and deepen our trust and love for our Savior. Now, the word joy is the same word that's used in verse 6, which is a word which means exuberant joy, overwhelming joy. The same word is used here. Inexpressible joy. That's the effect. Trials grow our faith. They develop us. They give us wisdom. They give us understanding. As we go through them, we wait upon the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to learn? Turn to Philippians 4, 6 through 7 for a moment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see that? Don't be anxious for anything. Pray. Seek the Lord. Give thanks for the salvation he's given us and for the trial he's putting us through. And then let our requests be made known to God. You'll have a peace that will pass all understanding that others won't understand that you have. That's what trials do to God's people. Sometimes they're very serious and very hard. Sometimes they're not as painful as other times. But this is the effect of trials. Joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Lastly, the result of trials. Notice the result of trials. The salvation of your souls. Peter is saying, keep your eyes focused on the goal, the culmination of history, the Lord's return. It could be any time. It may be a long time, but it could be any time. And Peter is saying, let that hope encourage you. Hold on to that. You will see him soon. Whether it be through death or his return, you'll see him soon. But keep working, keep focusing, keep living the life that he's called us to. Turn to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 for a moment. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he saying? He's saying it's like the games that used to be held in that first century, the Roman games. He said it's like all these people are around in this Colosseum. They're watching and they're cheering us on. Go, keep going, keep running the race. Don't stop. Don't fall into doubt or have a lack of faith. Keep on going. They're cheering us on. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's important. in everything, keep your eyes focused on the goal. Now, when I was up, maybe the last time I was up in New York City, we decided to drive into New York City rather than take public transportation. Well, I've driven in New York City quite a few times. But my son doesn't drive in the city anymore. He takes public transportation, a bus. And he was really nervous when I was driving. He was looking outside. Oh, don't watch, Dad. Watch where you're going. Don't forward the CD player. Just watch where you're going. You're going to get it. What's going on? He wanted me to keep my eyes focused on the road and what was going on. I mean, granted, there are different type of people that drive up there, and you got to drive like they do. But it's interesting. Keep your eyes focused. That's what he's saying. You've had trials. Maybe right now you're going through a trial or trials, and you will have trials in the future on this side of heaven. The Lord doesn't often remove you from them, but He takes you through them. You know that He has the power to change anything at any time if He wills. If He doesn't, you know that He has a purpose for what you're going through. I was often fascinated this year. I guess it was up in, maybe it was Alaska or where it was. They did these incredible ice sculptures. And they would chisel away at just a block of ice, a big block of ice. They'd chisel away at it. And you watch them doing it. And I was watching them on television. They chisel away, chisel away. It doesn't look like anything, but you see all this ice falling, all this stuff, you know, falling away. And as they chisel, it gets better. It looks more realistic. And by the time they're done, it's a beautiful picture. Trials chisel away at you. They chisel away what needs to be taken out of your life. You can't understand everything that's going on, but when it's over, you will rejoice in what the Lord has done to you. Trials will make you more like your Savior. And the Lord has promised that to you. That's Peter's message today. Peter is talking about trials develop your character, trials grow your faith, and trials maintain your focus. Let us keep our eyes on our Savior. He's making us more like Him. That's what He's doing. And when it comes down to that, isn't that what we all want? To be made more like our Savior.